Blog Talk Radio.
Of David Duenas. I'm your co-host, Steve Canine Kim, and welcome to episode 545 of the Next Round. Gabriel, how are you?
I'm doing well. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. And before we get started, the number to call in, and we'll take those phone calls in about 15 to 20 minutes, 347-215-7598. If you want to send us a question or comment via Twitter, you can do so at SteveUCNLive and at Gabriel_Montoya. This is Steve Kim, joined as always by Golden Gate Gabe Montoya up in the Bay Area of San Francisco. Gabe, how you doing?
I'm better now that we're on the air. I'll tell you after we get on how harried that was. Blog Talk, your new service, is failing. But I'm excited, man. We didn't have a lot of fights last weekend, but we got a really much anticipated fight coming up this weekend in Mara, Santa Cruz, and I'm excited about the show. Let's do it.
Blog Talk, the new version, equals New Coke, circa 1985. Again, we were going to try to go at least 90 minutes, and if you push us to 2 hours, we'll be there for you. But if not, we'll just call it a day. And I'm making an executive decision right now. This is our new tradition. On Labor Day Monday, which is a big college football game, last year it was my beloved Miami Hurricanes against the Louisville Cardinals, we're taking next Monday off because it is Labor Day, and I want to see Ohio State against Virginia Tech. But let's get started with round number one. Just thought I'd let you know that, Gabe.
I appreciate it.
The CBC. From the Staples Center in Los Angeles, brought to you by ESPN, the worldwide leader, your main event, Abner Morris versus Leo Santa Cruz in a Los Angeles grudge match. Gabe, we're not the biggest fans of the PBC, but I'll say this. Even now, no matter what anyone says, and maybe this fight is quote-unquote too late, maybe it's tardy, maybe it's delayed, but I still say Morris Santa Cruz is one of the few fights in the PBC galaxy that I think you can honestly say, hey, that's worth watching.
I don't understand the idea that this fight is just long overdue. I mean, you know, I guess the belts matter to get a certain amount of leverage. And someone today was saying, you know, these guys, it mattered more in this division, you know, when everybody was carrying belts and everything. But I just think it's a good fight, you know, and at this point, considering how fractured the entire boxing universe is, from the PBC to, you know, what happens on the different networks, the different promoters, I really just don't care anymore who holds a belt. I don't even think there's such a thing as divisional significance anymore, as much as there used to be, because of the, you know, one fight doesn't always lead to the logical next fight. This is a very good matchup. They're evenly matched in terms of size. I think in terms of punching power, neither guy is a big puncher. They're probably heavy punchers. They're crisp punchers. Morris has the edge in experience and overall competition. He's faced way more world champions, ex-world champions. Santa Cruz, I want to know what he's got. And I have a feeling that Abner Morris is going to let me know what it is.
Yeah, I'm waffling on this because I've been a big advocate of Leo Santa Cruz up until about the last year. But even now, with the sterling record of 30-0-1, it could best be described his competition, Flotsam and Jetsam. Meanwhile, Abner Morris, on his resume, there are names like Victor Chinian, Anselmo Moreno, Daniel Ponce de Leon, Joseph Agbeko. However, mitigating that is post-Johnny Gonzalez, who seemingly took a part of his soul in August of 2013 in one round. He's also been on a very, very, very soft diet that you can be called, best be described as Gerber's, because he has been spoon-fed some baby food. So this question mark that I have is, which knife is dulled more, Morris or Santa Cruz, Gabe?
That's a good question. I mean, was Santa Cruz ever sharp? You know, he's kind of always been in development mode. I mean, I haven't seen him face the ghost of Christian Mahadas. Is that his best opponent? Manuel Roman, his ex-sparring partner, Eric Morrell. I mean, that might be his best win. But even that, it's kind of an older dude. It isn't the likes of, even though Abner has been, you know, his last three fights have been against the guys 24-3, 25-4, 18-4, and they're all kind of spoon-fed. And he's gotten most, you know, two of them were decisions. One, he blew through the guy and it was over after five. But, you know, beating Ponce de Leon, that was a big win. Losing to Johnny Gonzalez in his next fight, I mean, Johnny Gonzalez is a tall power puncher. That is proven. And he got caught. That happens. Now, how he's responded, he leaves his management, goes to the PBC. You know, Sean Porter said today, somebody was asking him, he was doing a hashtag Ask Sean, and people were asking him questions, and they said, you know, don't you feel, you know, the boxing fan always is a better businessman than anybody else. A sports fan's kind of like this. You know, like, don't you think you'd be a better fit with Golden Boy? You know, they could really take care of you. Sean was like, all of us know that we're going to have work, that we're going to have fights, and it's going to be a regular thing. And so there's, you know, no, I'm fine where I'm at. And I feel that way with Abner, that he's kind of been waiting for his big fight. He's been kind of, you know, treading water, if you will. And now here it is. And I think he's seen Leo kind of get the run that he feels he deserves after doing everything that he did. Also beating Eric Morrell, Joseph Agbeko twice, Vic Darchinian, and Selmo Moreno. This guy's record, the people he's faced, Yanni Perez, he pretty much retired him. I'm leaning towards Abner Morris. The more I look at it, I don't see Abner looking like hell. I think maybe he's just fighting not the right guys and not fighting to another level that fighting somebody like a Santa Cruz will bring out of him. I'm going Abner Morris by decision.
You know, I still don't know. That is one of the intriguing parts of this fight, is that post-Johnny Gonzalez, Abner Morris does not look whole. Now, there's been a rehabilitation period. He's gotten a little bit better each fight. And I know for a fact this thing has gotten a little bit personal, especially on the end of Abner Morris, who, like you said, kind of looks at Leo as saying, wait a minute, I think I'm the better fighter. I have the better resume. I should be the star. I still distinctly remember about 3-4 years ago. Now, this is when they were both very young and I think a little bit unproven, specifically Leo Santa Cruz. He was more of a prospect at this time. Well, Abner Morris, I believe, had just won a title or two. They were at the Maywood Youth Boxing Center, which is a very good blue-collar gym. We've been out there a few times. And they actually sparred. And they were very friendly back then. And I'll be honest with you, I thought the sparring was very competitive. In other words, it was sparring. Nobody, quote, unquote, won. But you got the sense that at that stage, Abner Morris was the much more seasoned prize fighter. But you look at him now, Leo Santa Cruz, Gabe, has 31 fights. Abner Morris has 31 fights. But those 31 fights of Abner Morris seem to be a little bit more meaningful. But I do wonder, though, playing Santa Cruz's advocate, let's say he gets through the early onslaught of an emotional, highly charged Morris, who can punch, I think, a little bit better than Leo. But then let's say Leo settles in. One thing that I've noticed about Leo Santa Cruz, he is a very active volume puncher who has a certain stick-to-itiveness. Abner Morris, one thing I've never liked about him, his technique seems to get very loose and very jagged as the fights go into the second half. Yeah. I think that's where the intrigue comes in. I don't know who's going to win. I've kind of waffled. I've said Santa Cruz, but let's just put it this way. Unlike Oscar De La Hoya, I wouldn't bet the farm on it. I'll be honest. This is just one of those fights that I'm just going to kind of look at and say what happens, happens. I guess I'll go with Leo Santa Cruz. Honestly, folks, this is why I'm not a betting man. If you're looking for gambling advice from me, I'm the wrong guy to ask. Gabe, there's another fight going on in our city at the Great Western / Fabulous, now just Forum. The show will go on, and it must go on for Shane Mosley. And get this, the judge has ruled, and down goes Don King. Shane Mosley takes on Ricardo Mayorga. Gabe, believe it or not, and again, until I actually see some fisticuffs in that ring on Saturday night, there's still a part of me that's a seeing is believing about this promotion put on by Shane Mosley's company, GoBox. But I will say this. We certainly have had our feelings about Shane Mosley. Should he be fighting? Should he be continuing on to his career? But I've got to give a tip of the cap, Gabe, because at least locally here, and in terms of what he's done in terms of utilizing social media and being creative and being inventive, I think Shane Mosley done a superior job of promoting his event than the PBC, which I think has a far higher profile fight.
Well, we'll see. You know, I mean, I think, you know, the PBC, they got commercials. Like last night I was sitting in a restaurant pretty late here in San Francisco. Some Burner friends are in town. Everybody's heading to the Burning Man. We're not. And on the TV is, and this is like in the financial district, pretty upscale restaurant, restaurant bar. And they had Abner Morris on ESPN back there at 10 o'clock at night getting interviewed, you know, 10:30, so thereabouts. And I thought, you know, I wonder, you know, how much less they have to work by just having that kind of market, you know, by putting him in that kind of market. Just a little conversation. Abner's, you know, good on TV and good in interviews. I wonder, you know, I mean, I Mosley's been hitting this with press release after press release, but with each press release, the promotion feels less real to me. They're reiterating all these things, like Mosley's getting rid of sexism in boxing, and is that really a platform? I mean, is it? I don't understand. I mean, I you know, women's boxing is there, and they do it. Are they being treated that poorly? Is it that bad? Is it, you know, I don't understand where this stuff's going. But the fight itself, I mean, what weight is this at? Is it 155, 154? Is it?
I think I read somewhere that it's 158, but basically the weight is on Friday, whatever Mayorga weighs in at, Gabe, that's your weight. Seriously.
Well, that kills my next question. I wonder if they're going to make weight. Yeah, I just look at both these guys, and you know, it's hard to say. I mean, they can still move around the ring. Mosley always looks the part. That's what's dangerous about him. I mean, he always looks in great shape. He talks about how much sparring he does, which I don't think is actually good for you. You know, you probably should, as you get older, less rounds probably equals more. He's fought last with a back injury. You know, he had to be stopped in a TKO 7 loss to Anthony Mundine. Ricardo Mayorga fought a couple guys in 2014, you know, Alan Medina and Andrick Saralegui. I mean, you know, I think that's Puerto Rican for some guy. You know, I don't understand, you know, what this fight is, where it's coming from, how to judge it. I just don't even know how it got licensed. But I guess they have to be really slurry and brain damaged. Well, I guess maybe not, because James Toney fought. I don't know where you draw the line. This is a really interesting fight, kind of slash case.
Or case event. Study. Or yeah. A novelty act. Or a circuit.
You're going, right?
I mean, I am going, just like I did for the Silverdome back in January of 2012 for the Tim Bradley-Devin Alexander fight, and people said, Steve, why are you going? And I said, very simply, morbid curiosity. And listen, Shane's doing everything he can to get people in the building. I don't think it's selling particularly well. I don't see how it can, especially with a competing show on the four-letter network. He's given 500 tickets away to servicemen, which is certainly a very nice gesture. But when you do these things, it's very clear. The ticket demand isn't exactly Golovkin, Lemieux, or Cotto, Canelo. And I think Shane, there's almost like this Don Quixote-like mentality with him that he's going up against these powers. Now, I'll be honest with you. Where I do think that he's absolutely spot on, and I don't want to be Oliver Stone, but I don't think there's any doubt that Don King raised the stink about Mayorga's contract, because basically I think he is now an Al Haymon puppet. I think he was trying in his own way to clear the way for all the attention to focus on the show at the Staples Center. Now, what was interesting today, Gabe, was at the forum, there was a press conference, and you knew they were going to stage something. Now, they've already done the shoving or pushing match between Mosley and Mayorga. Now, you could see that coming a mile away. Today, Shane Mosley's girl, her butt got slapped by Ricardo Mayorga. Now, let me just say this. When you put your girl's ass on the line, literally, Now that's taking one for the team, and it's getting a lot of play. Now listen, does anyone with half a brain think that that wasn't staged? Of course not. But again, there's still a lot of professional wrestling fans. I mean, every Monday or Sunday night, there's a big wrestling telecast on. I see it all over my timeline. And as it relates to Santa Cruz and Mahrez, I just don't see that much. Now, being on ESPN, getting a SportsCenter hit, that's built in with the network deal. But it really hasn't translated to ratings. Now, I don't know how this show is going to do. I think another tough hurdle to climb. Gabe, Mayorga Moseley, the first fight took place about 7 years ago, and it was an okay fight, memorable finish. Here's the problem, Gabe. Now you're charging $49.95. That's a tough sell.
Somebody's got to go back and look at the ratings for that original fight. I remember it not being a very good fight. I was there. It was kind of a shitty fight, and then it had a great ending. He caught him right at the last second. And it was over. But I remember thinking it was kind of a terrible matchup. Like, on paper, you go, well, these are two action guys. Mayorga throws a lot, but he's awkward, so he'll be landing in strange places. And Moseley goes down the middle, and so, you know, he can kind of power box and bounce in and out. He's got that leaping left hook. You know, that I think that's what ended up finishing the fight. It should be good. I mean, it wasn't. It was a lot of wrestling. Shane all of a sudden looked terrible from his previous fight. And then he knocked him out. I don't expect this fight to be much better. If the styles is why that happened the first time, age, I don't think is going to make this, you know, taste like fine wine.
Gabe, now that I recall, the original matchup, which I believe was in late September of 2008, was supposed to be on HBO pay-per-view, and I'll never forget it. I raised a stink about it because there was going to be back-to-back weeks of pay-per-view events on HBO pay-per-view, and they ended up moving it off from the Staples Center to the StubHub Center. And I'll never forget Richard Schaefer saying, well, basically move the pay-per-view off because of what you wrote. And I don't know if he was castigating me or thanking me, but again, it is interesting that they're doing this again on pay-per-view. All I could say to Shane is good luck. It's your money. Gabe, speaking of Sean Porter, I spoke to the father, Kenny Porter, who we both know very well over the weekend. Now, last week there was a lot of talk and conjecture about maybe a Danny Garcia matchup and certainly one with Keith Thurman. Gabe, here's the problem. That's news to Kenny Porter, who says there's been no talk of either fight. Is he being punished for beating Adrian Broner, who already has a date October 3rd?
Well, that's the thing. It's you know, these guys, they're saying, you know, they have, like Sean's saying, oh, I've got regular work and it's all good. But I still don't see the him moving into a logical position. I mean, I guess if you're getting paid well and they're like, look, we're just going to get you a stay busy. It's going to pay you like six figures, high six figures. Don't worry about it. We'll get you another fight after that. Cool. But that's not really, I mean, it's weird. I mean, is this the trade-off for fighters getting taken care of better?
Yes.
Is that we lose that aspect
yes.
of free will? Yeah? The answer is yes.
I mean, I've said this before. If you allowed me to do easier or less work for the same amount of money or more, I wouldn't complain. I think that's human nature. This dynamic is great for the fighters and the participants and their handlers who get a piece of the cut. It's terrible for the audience. Again, let me use this analogy. If my San Diego Padres, my Pittsburgh Pirates signed a big free agent and this guy ended up hitting 200 with three home runs and only drove in 23 RBIs, I would be upset at that production. I wouldn't be applauding the fact, wow, good for him. He made $17.5 million. That's what's going on, that a lot of these guys are allowed to hit 200, but as long as they're getting paid $2, $3 million, we're happy because they're getting paid, which, again, I don't understand that dynamic. Gabe, Cotto Canelo tickets kind of, sort of didn't go on sale on Monday and Tuesday with the pre-sale and the non-sale today. And I'm getting a lot of complaints and a lot of people bitching and moaning, and specifically calling out Oscar. I'm going to belabor this point because anyone that just specifically points the finger at him, I think is not factually correct. Canelo and Golden Boy were absolutely entertaining the idea of a larger venue, something like an Alamo Dome or AT&T Stadium, which did two Pacquiao fights in 2010. But when this fight was forced to go to a 12,000-seat venue because certain guys did not want to go to Texas for whatever reason, it's not a surprise. But the shame of it all, as always, Gabe, is that the fan who was relied upon to support the game 12 months out of the year when it comes to the debutante's ball, the prom, gets left out. I think that's very problematic. And if you even look at the pricing structure of the seating chart, Gabe, even if you got in, I mean, for $650, you're not getting that great of a deal. Contrast to the Golovkin-Lemieux fight, where over 75% of the arena, Gabe, was priced at $100 or less. Now, that's for the fans.
I just think, you know, it's so strange that, you know, that the sport gets surprised that they're getting screwed over and over again. I mean, it is what it's the nature of the sport, you know. I like where K2 and you know, the Lemieux-Golovkin promotion seems to be more fan-friendly, but they're also still building. With Cotto, there's a sense of entitlement of, look, you know, I'm a huge star, and we're going to do it where I want to do it. It doesn't really make a lot of financial sense the way they're doing it. You know, it's a bit overpriced, and it's in a venue that you know, Canelo's shown that he can fill large places. Cotto has even shown that. Well, Yankee Stadium did pretty well. I don't understand why they didn't go that route. It just makes no sense to me. Do you have an insight into that as to why a stadium? I mean, this is Mexico versus Puerto Rico. Why do it in the smallest venue possible?
Well, here's what happened. Cotto, Roc Nation, did not want to go to Texas. That's simple. For whatever reason, whether it's valid or not, that's a fact. They wanted to do New York, but New York simply, without a casino, Madison Square Garden or Barclays Center, could not put up the money of Las Vegas and its casino, endorsement. What took place with the MGM Grand was that there was a BMX event that was already staged there at the MGM Grand Garden. Steve Wynn put in an offer to go to the Thomas and Wiggity Wiggity Whack, which I think everyone hates for logistical reasons. But the best offer was still from the MGM Grand / Mandalay Bay. And the Mandalay Bay Event Center, which holds about 11,500, I'm told, was then the best financial deal. And like Cotto said himself, they took the best deal. So, folks, stop pointing the finger solely at Oscar. Does Oscar deserve a little bit of heat since he's a co-promoter? Yes. Does he look kind of bad because he trolled Mayweather Pacquiao and their ticket situation? Yes. But if you look at the facts and the truth, then you put away your biases, I don't think it's his fault. You know who I'm pointing the finger at. Before we get to the calls, that number, 347-215-7598. Let's get through some tweets here. Here's one from Ben Garcia. Can Antonio Margarito really just come back and get a big fight after sitting out the past couple of years? Can the PBC call him? The PBC can call anyone. I'm not so sure what his status is with Top Rank. I'm going to get some answers from Sergio Diaz later this week. And can Margarito just get a big comeback fight? Yeah, why not? If someone offers it to him, he'll probably take it.
Oh, that's just the eye. I don't see how he gets licensed. I mean, here's the thing, though. You and I talked about this for Margarito Cotto, that the eye, as bad as it looked, he was able to use it. He was able to see. And even at the end, like, he was answering the questions when they stopped the fight. So what do you think about him coming back? Do you think it's as terrible as the eye looks?
I don't like it. Listen, I don't think it's a good idea, but they don't listen to me. But according to Sergio Diaz a couple of months ago, as his client said, Sergio, I want to fight again. I'd like you to be a part of this. Sergio says he took him to the same eye specialist that they saw in 2010 in Utah and was given as clean a bill of health as they were going to get. And according to Sergio, they are free and clear to fight. Now, that is a different equation than should they fight. So it's going to happen whether we like it or not. Here's one from Joshua Provodnikov, Sturtheart 22. Is HBO going to give Rios a date without Provodnikov? Will Provodnikov wait Rios out? Gabe, here's my opinion. I think Provodnikov's either going to go to Russia without Love, where Banner Promotions has a very lucrative deal, or they just might go to another network. I don't think Top Rank will ever allow any more of their clients to get in with this Siberian grinder.
No, I think Bob Arum could just hear him, are you kidding me? You
know, no way. Forget about it.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, I'm going to the Philippines. Check out Manny's arm. Swimming that salt water. You know, that's no wonder Bob Arum, you know, seems like he's going to live forever. He's been swimming in sea salt with Manny Pacquiao the last few years. I think he's going to go to Russia. That's my guess. I think that's what it seems the most logical, and they're running out of time. They don't want to, you know, they don't like Ruslan to be sitting out for a long time. I mean, he needs to heal up because his style is pretty brutal, but he's sharper when he's fighting more often. So, yeah, I expect that to happen.
Here's big drama show. Should Golden Boy Promotions buy into Gennady Golovkin, even if it's 5%, just to have him in his stable? Gabe, I didn't realize Tom Loeffler was selling shares. I don't think he is.
Yeah, I don't think so. That's I think people need to get a hold on reality.
Yeah, I didn't realize Gennady Golovkin had an IPO or there was a public offering. I think I might buy a few shares of that blue chip stock. And here's one from Robert Buffa. How does the PBC do drug testing for fights that are announced only 5 weeks out? Seems awfully fishy. Gabe.
Maybe sometimes they don't.
It's
really hard. Like Vonis Motorosian, I put out a video last week. He said he hadn't been tested at all for the Ishae Smith fight. And as I understood it, Ishae said he tweeted about it, that he'd been tested. I think Sergio Mora had tweeted that he'd been tested. So some guys are, some guys aren't. But I think the nature of these fights, because, you know, I don't think everybody's signed some sort of addendum in their contract. That's what I understand has not happened. There isn't some blanket agreement where everybody's like, all right, guys, this is Travis Tygart from USADA. We're all meeting. We're all signing this contract to be in this 360 program. It seems a little more hodgepodge than that. And the way the process works, where you have to, you know, fill out a whereabouts form, kind of register with USADA. They check you out, check all your paperwork out, bring you into the program, and then go from there, begin testing you. It takes a while. I've seen this happen several times, and I know how it works, how difficult it is to get these guys. I mean, Steve, you know how hard it is sometimes to get an interview with a fighter, tracking a guy down for the time and all this, especially over the phone. Now imagine trying to get that guy for drug testing. Nobody's in a rush to send back that paperwork. Nobody's in a rush to sign up and get it all done. It just seems extra and outside of boxing. So that, you know, the answer to the question is, I don't know. It seems 50-50 that it'll happen when you're picking fights like this.
I just remember when the PBC came up to so much hoopla in February, I believe, that they trumpeted the fact they'll be doing state-of-the-art, regular, year-round drug testing, and boy, they sure were patting themselves on the back. And coming into the late summer, I would just ask them one question. When does that start? And here's one from the president, Andrew V. Kennedy. Both are PBC. Why can't we get a Thurman Porter fight made? Also, this is funny. Also, any PBC drug testing these days, while the president attaches a picture of a hulking, muscular, ripped, shredded Abner Mares. Gabe, regardless of the associations, you could have two fighters with the same promoter or, quote, advisor. Even in this case, doesn't it still take two to tango?
It does. That's, you know, how can one man love all of his fighters equally and show them that love? I don't think it's going to be possible. He may hit them with financial, you know, stuff, but the overall, what is lost is that free will, the ability to choose your destiny, choose your opponent, and then actively go market yourself towards that guy. You know, it doesn't seem like these guys can can actually say anything bad about Al. We saw that advisory contract where they could be terminated for doing that. So is that, you know, a surprise that nobody complains about being with Al? No, it isn't. They're contractually obligated. But also, I mean, I just think it the good fights are being blocked. I'm not an impatient guy. I like fights to marinate, but it just seems to me that there is no rhyme or reason here. It's just kind of, I don't know, names on a board.
Here's a final tweet from Gary Willis before we hit the phone lines. How come Huey Fury didn't get the Wilder fight? Gabe, I have a secret source who tells me that Huey Fury went through a cardiogram and a full physical 2 weeks ago, and he showed signs of an actual heartbeat. And at that point, Al Haymon said, "Hell no."
Yeah, people,
that's Al, that boy.
People have heard of Huey Fury. What are you guys talking about? We can't have to face our guy. Yeah, it's free.
It's free. 347-215-7598. We'll be here for at least another hour, maybe more, depending on your participation. And let's be honest, if you don't even have enough calls to get us through the next hour, well, we could work a short shift also. Gabe, let's get to the phone lines.
It still feels like summer outside. Why not?
Yeah.
503, you're live on the next round. 503.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
I know, like, a lot of bike fans don't have enough for, like, multiple pay-per-views. Not multiple pay-per-views per year. With the plane of, like, three or four pay-per-views, the Mosley Mayorga, the Mayweather, the Cotto Canelo, and the Golovkin Lemieux, if you had to recommend one pay-per-view for the fans to get based on, like, the main event and the undercard, which is the best value?
Gabe, it clearly has to be between Lemieux, Golovkin, and Cotto Canelo, doesn't it?
I would say so. I think it's Lemieux Golovkin. I think that fight is going to be five rounds, maybe six, and it's going to be awesome. I think there's going to be a fast pace. We're going to see, you know, we're going to see how good Lemieux's chin really is. He tired out with Rubio and was hurt, and I think, you know, looking back on it, he split from Russ Amber. And Russ Amber stopped that fight before Lemieux could get, like, knocked out. And really, I think saved him for this. Let him fight another day, learn from it, not be traumatized by it. And, you know, Doug Fisher, a guy I really respect, said sitting down with Lemieux really sealed his opinion about the guy. There's an aura about him. He really wants to win, seems super focused. And then you got Roman Gonzalez and Brian Valoria on the undercard, Toriano Johnson versus Yuman Akane. I was like watching Toriano. I think that's, you know, the ranked middleweights. That's a solid, solid card, worth buying.
Any other questions?
Yeah, since you guys said there's not really a lot of boxing to talk about, I've got an Adam Box question. Who in your, like, Hall of Fame is, have you seen, which one in your Hall of Fame, like, five of the hottest boxers, sniffing others?
What's that? I'm understanding.
Yeah, I got to be honest. That question completely confused both of us.
like five of the hottest boxers, like wives, significant others.
I don't listen. I pay attention to the stuff in the ring. Next call, okay. Let's move on here.
Okay.
Good grief.
702. You're live on the next round.
Well, I mean, to answer his question, I mean, I don't know, Cotto's wife has a weird kind of Michael Jackson nose-looking thing going on, but her body is pretty up there, dude, I gotta say. I don't know, I don't know. Sometimes.
Being a married man, I leave wives out of it.
Yeah, that's probably the best idea. I'm getting married here in 2 weeks. I shouldn't be looking around this. You know, but what if? To answer the other question that he had, which was, you know, regarding which one is the best bang for your buck, I mean, dude, these are three solid pay-per-views. Well, I guess, I mean, Mayweather-Berto, that's definitely the, you know, the weakest main event. But I like the undercard the best, though, and I would pretty much pay to watch Salido versus Martinez, right? Sorry, I'm drawing a blank right now.
Yeah, Roman Rocky Martinez. I'll say this. I like the undercard. I've written about it. I was at the first fight in Puerto Rico in April. And Mayweather Berto, I think I'm going to call Guinness Book of World Records because that might be the most expensive walkout bout in the history of boxing taking place on September 12th.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, when you do have the very best, like the you know, pound for pound, the best fighter in the world fighting, it's worth watching just to see if something happens. Because as far as I'm concerned, you know, the Golovkin fight is, it's not a foregone conclusion, but I don't know. I mean, I see Golovkin, you know, I can't see him losing this fight. So, I mean, but it'll be more exciting. It'll definitely have a lot more action, that's for sure. And, of course, Chocolatito in probably another one-sided fight. But, again, action. So it's like, what do you want? You know, good, solid, you know, the high-profile fighter. You want everything. Well, then Canelo Cotto gives you everything. So I'll probably go with that one. I just wanted to say, though, you know, as far as PBC, I know I've been calling in a lot, you know, defending them, and you guys aren't fans of them. But, you know, this Mares, a Santa Cruz matchup, this is awesome. I mean, regardless of where they've gone in the past couple years and how many tune-up Santa Cruz or how many, you know, step-up fights he hasn't taken, you know, this is a good, solid fight, you know, regardless of how, you know, Mares got knocked out. It makes it more intriguing because I would have favored him a lot more, you know, before that knockout. But since that knockout, I think it's now that fight's 50-50 to me. I can't really pick a winner. I'm still leaning Mares, but I can't really pick a winner on that one. Who are you guys leaning towards? That's my question. I don't think I've heard it yet, but who are you guys favoring in this?
I'll be honest. I have no clue. I'm just going to watch the fight. I have a right. I'm not a gambler, so I have no clue. To say that I'm leaning towards anyone, I would just be lying to you. So
I'm going with Mares. I like his jab. I like his experience in that he'll remember when things get tough to do the right things. I mean, you know, Mares, for Santa Cruz, is a guy that comes on strong, throws a lot of punches, and is always there. But that style exists against guys that he's supposed to do that to. I want to see him. This will be the first time in a long time that we're in there with somebody that wants to win, has a lot of experience, isn't too long in the tooth, and size-wise, they match up well. I think Abner's pretty strong for a shorter guy. So I'm going with Mares. I just think he's overall got more punches.
And I think that's why I tend to lean towards him as well. I think the experience pays off in the long run. I just haven't seen a lot of different, you know, facets come from Leo Santa Cruz. And Mares, like, he reminds me of kind of Danny Garcia in the fact that they never really look spectacular at anything, but they always sort of find a way to win, you know. And that's kind of what I got to go with.
The thing that concerns me about Leo Santa Cruz, who I was a very big advocate of about 3-4 years ago, I always got the sense he was improving. He was getting better. And I think the last 3-4 fights, he has certainly, at the very least, plateaued. So that concerns me about Leo Santa Cruz. Thank you for the call. Please call in again if you want to give
us
a ring, 347-215-7598. Gable Montoya, Steve Kim, episode 545 of The Next Round.
213, you're live on The Next Round.
I'm at the desk phone, gentlemen, so fight on.
Fight on. No, fight the F on.
F-T-F-O, Steve. F-T-F-O. Yeah.
As Steve Cuddy Sarkeesian would say.
Oh, it was the meds, Steve. At the press conference today on campus, he said it was the meds. It wasn't the alky.
Advil is a hell of a drug, that Advil. God.
I'm going to get you one of those FTFO shirts that's in the bookstore, Steve. Just for you.
That's right. So what's going on, Sam?
He's got that MDMA. What's going on?
You know, just relaxing. I got my Canelo Cotto ticket. It's on the secondary market already because that fight wasn't for the fans. That venue wasn't for the fans. That's Steve, I'm still upset, Steve. This is the type of fight that demanded a 50,000 packed arena.
Someone should have told Roc Nation and Cotto.
They signed Andre Ward, so I don't know what they know. Obviously, they signed Andre Ward, so what do they know? They're used to church discounts, I guess. So.
And don't forget the Shoe Palace discount either.
But my real question, my real point is, Steve, Mara Santa Cruz, I was over there at LA Live yesterday. There's no buzz for that fight. Are they giving tickets away already? I don't know.
Saturday. Someone will be handing them out by the Magic Johnson statue. Don't worry about it.
You know, I'm really calling because I was noticing the undercard of the Triple G fight, and I know Abel Sanchez, he's gotten a little used to the attention, so he says a little bit of hyperbole, but I'm seeing the writing on the wall, Steve. I consider myself a smart boxing fan. You know, I don't see how Triple G doesn't, if say he wins, I don't see how he doesn't fight Toriano Johnson next and then goes after Andy Lee and Saunders, and then we push that Canelo versus Triple G to the fall of 2016. You know, we know they're not going to fight each other right after. So do you see Toriano Johnson being he's going to be the mandatory, so do you see that next for Triple G?
Guys, I see him as an option, but I asked this of everyone involved yesterday at the press conference. The WBC has clearly mandated that the winners of October 17th and November 21st have to fight. But again, there's nothing keeping Canelo and Cotto from doing a rematch and just dumping the belt. Now, if that is what happened, let's say Golovkin wins at the Garden, Canelo, Cotto have this split decision, 7-5 either way, fight of the year type contest, they'll just merely dump the belt, do the fight again, make more money, and at that point, Sanchez, yes, I do believe Golovkin then picks up the BC belt and then faces Toriano Johnson. I think that is a very, very realistic scenario.
And like you said, Gabe, I don't need to rush the Triple G Canelo. I would like to actually see it simmer the first half of this year, and I wouldn't mind seeing that in Texas. Or I know Triple G's got the stones. He'll go fight Canelo in Mexico, you know, so they could let that fight marinate a little longer come September.
I think they'd be willing. I think Tom would be willing to allow this fight to be an event, you know. Maybe you do Triple G versus Canelo in L.A. Do it at Dodger Stadium, you know.
Ooh.
I think that would be huge.
Oh,
you know.
Ooh, you're talking, Gabe.
Yeah, I mean, now I'm traveling if that fight happens, you know. I'll come out of retirement to go check that out. I just think, you know, yeah, let it happen. I think Cotto gets beaten by Canelo. I don't think he gets stopped. And I think a rematch is very, very possible if it's a 7-5 fight. I mean, why not go back to that well? But then again, you know, it was hard negotiating the first time. I mean, if Canelo wins, then he gets a little more leverage. Maybe they do go to Texas or somewhere. I don't know. We'll see. I like Triple G versus Johnson, though. That's a hell of a fight if he gets past Lemieux.
Yeah, I give him a good shot to get past Lemieux, but then I like how Toriano's on the undercard, so just in case, you know, he doesn't fight Canelo Cotto winner, they got that built in, like, oh, this is the guy that was on the undercard, he's a top contender, you know, just going forward on HBO.
I think it's a good fight. I don't think anybody can argue with it, Toriano Johnson Triple G fight if it happens. But is it me or did Triple G, you know, Alfredo Newman look a little pudgier than usual at the press conference? And Lemieux looking trim and ready to go right now.
He looked a little bit heavier, but I do know this. By Sunday, he was already in Big Bear, so he's got plenty of time. I don't think it's going to be an issue. Sanch, we got to get going, okay?
All right, Steve. You going to Mayorga, Mosley?
You better believe it. That's the fight of the weekend for me.
Sizzler across the street, baby.
Absolutely. Long live the forum. Sanch, thank you very much. 347-215-7598. Gabe, who's next?
585. You're live on the next round. 585.
Hey, guys. It's Jake from Rochester.
Jake, what's going on?
I just wanted to ask you, this Mare Santa Cruz fight, I personally have never seen a fight with years of buildup have this little amount of buzz during fight week. In my entire life watching boxing, I mean, we got two world-class fighters, two former champions. Santa Cruz is holding a belt. I don't know about Mares, actually, but I mean, these are two big names, two big Mexican names. And no, I mean, I'm on a whole bunch of different boxing groups, and no one's really talking about this. No one's picking who they think is going to win. Really, I mean, it's pretty much. I mean, the PBC. sucks the life, really, out of everything. So I just like your take on that.
Jake, I said this at the beginning of the show. I know Gabe will point out, hey, they were on ESPN. Yeah, and?
Well,
there's four. There's 500 channels now.
Right.
To the bigger picture, this plan of inundating all the major networks, I think, would have worked in 1985. We are now in a 500-channel universe of Netflix, YouTube, the DVR, in demand. And I think maybe boxing is just meant to be a niche sport. But when you truly promote and market and develop talent and cultivate events the correct way, guys, in the last week, I was at the Golovkin-Lemieux press conference, and yesterday I was at Canelo-Cotto, and there was a palpable buzz. Like, you felt like, wow, this is going to be big. People are excited. People are thirsty for it. This is going to be fun. And like Jake kind of said, for Santa Cruz Mars, a fight game that me and you like, I think they've got the very minimum interest of the public.
And it's interesting. I mean, we do see the normal round of things. When you got USA Today has a big story on Abner Morris, I think today or yesterday. LA Times did one yesterday. They're going with the mainstream approach. And so there isn't a lot of buzz within normal boxing circles. But they've also cut out, it seems like, normal boxing writers. I didn't check Yahoo. I'm sure Kevin Ioli will be writing something about it. It's strange. It's like Vegas when Vegas doesn't have a buzz. It's just a little flat. I wonder why that is. Now, granted, this fight was never, to me, it's like a B-plus fight. They're good fighters, but nobody's getting knocked out in this fight unless it's a body shot. And that's not that sexy. There was never going to be a battle between power punchers. So I do kind of wonder how much heat this fight could have had with, say, Golden Boy pushing it. You know, I don't know. Those did look like major productions, though, what was going on. It was like old-school boxing promoting. Oscar being out there. And Oscar is still an anomaly, and it's the one thing that the PBC really lacked. It doesn't have a promotional face. I guess the fighters are the face, but it doesn't have an Oscar De La Hoya or a Don King or a Bob Arum standing there telling the press what to think about the fight. And they're a
But wait a minute.
Interview, you know?
But wait a minute, Gabe. He's it's the return of the Mac. Richard Schaefer. It's going to happen soon, Gabe. Come on.
Is he as colorful as those other guys?
No. I do think that he was actually growing into that role for better or worse. I mean, his hyperbole game, Gabe, it was very strong. Very strong, I'm telling you.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. He is kind of, you know, got it in kind of a Bond villain sort of way, you know? Kind of a corporate
question.
Yeah.
You watch everything. Are you ordering the Mosley Mayorga pay-per-view?
No, I'm not.
Whoa.
Just right
well,
to it.
I do order literally everything, right? I just can't order that. It's too bad. It's too low level of a fight. It doesn't matter, you know?
Wow, and this is a guy that probably used to buy every heavyweight explosion. That is saying something there, Jake.
Is this kind of like a Go Fight Live situation, you think? It should be like that kind of... Not to denigrate them, they're doing fine work, but, you know, it's not the highest end, you know, always, you know?
This fight,
I mean,
to be honest, isn't even worthy for me to go downstairs and listen to it on the radio. You know?
Whoa. Wow, not even Blackbox worthy.
Wow. I definitely will. If I have got the time, I'm going to be watching it. I think I will have the time on Saturday.
Listen, I'll be honest. Again, with me, it's morbid curiosity. I want to see if Shane Mosley can actually pull this off. If he does, my hat's off. Jake, we got to get running, okay? Thank you very much. Gabe, here's a tweet from Evan Young at the Boxing Forecast. He goes against the grain a little bit from you. He says, Santa Cruz applies too much pressure, and he's mentally steelier. Fight will become trench warfare. Leo wins. I'll be honest, that's one of the two scenarios that I could see. I think you could make a strong argument for both Abner Mares and Leo Santa Cruz. Gabe?
Everybody looks like they've got iron grit when they're facing people they're supposed to beat. Mike from Queens, you're live on the next round.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Mike, what's up, man?
I thought it was funny that the WBC, they come out with the mandating VADA drug testing program soon as with Matisse and Postal, but isn't it, why would you start such a monumental thing with that kind of fight when you just had Mayweather Pacquiao and you're having Mayweather's last fight ever? Don't you think that's a little ironic?
Huh, interesting.
I think it's just, well, for one thing, I think Matisse has done VADA testing before, so I think there's a history there. I could be wrong. But Provodnikov had him do VADA testing. So I think, one, they're familiar with it, so it's not something they want to fight. But also, you know, these things, talking with Maurizio Sulaiman, there's no, they don't have any jurisdiction with this agreement. I mean, it's like they're mandating it, and yet they know the fighters can just drop the belt, and a guy like Floyd will just drop the belt. You can't, so it's this kind of weird gray area. We're like, this is what we want to do. This is what we hope you all take part in, and then we'll take credit for it and be excited about it. And it's a good program, but you can't force anybody to do anything. There's no, I guess, either you'd have to do an addendum to joining the WBC. You also have to do this drug testing thing. And that, I think with three other sanctioning bodies, kind of a non-starter. So that's why it's this fight. Everybody's amenable. These guys don't really have much of a choice, you know, and the WBC has leverage over them. So they don't overfly.
And Gabe, you got to take that first small step before you can take major ones and start running. That's the way
yeah.
I look at this situation.
Oh, dude, you look at how far it's come. And also, added to which, Sulaiman said to me that, you know, they were already doing USADA testing, so we were kind of redundant. And I agree with that. You can only take so much blood from these guys, keep jabbing them and jabbing them, and then, you know, it's just kind of dangerous and it's superfluous. And I think USADA kind of tests a lot within a short period of time. It's about the tests you do, not how much you test. But to see where it's all come from Floyd asking Manny going, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. We're not doing that. And having watched up close, like you know, half dozen or more, like fight camps decide whether or not to do testing, have it offered, go back and forth, all the agreements and everything. To now see, you know, MMA is also doing, or UFC is doing USADA testing. And it's interesting watching USADA, the way they behave in boxing is completely different than how they're behaving over there in UFC. They're in all these mandates work and they're making all these announcements and proclamations. And over in boxing, because in UFC, they've got Jeff Nowitzki as like the point man for UFC, the anti-doping czar. In boxing, who is it? Floyd Mayweather?
Maybe Al Haymon. I think it's also because the UFC owns their fighters. Basically, they got, there's no Muhammad Ali Act. They got nobody representing them. Not to say that boxers have a union or anything like that. I just think boxers have more control of their careers. I think that's why it happens.
Mike, guys definitely locked up. That's for sure. Sorry, Steve.
Question: are you ordering Mayorga Moseley? Just curious.
No. I mean, I'm a boxing fan, but I'm not a Mayorga Moseley 2 boxing fan.
We all have our limits, Mike. We all have our limits.
And I just got two more things. Steve, I know you got a pretty good relationship with Freddie Roach. Did you bring up to him at the press conference about the Pacquiao quote about that he healed through salt water and swimming?
I didn't. But when I spoke with him, I kind of kept it on topic about Canelo Cotto because I think the salt water thing is such a joke. And I see some link where Freddie Roach said Manny was joking. I'll be honest. Manny throws a lot of punches. He doesn't throw a lot of one-liners. I mean, he's a very religious guy who's rooted in faith. I don't know what to say. Salt water. I mean, the next thing you know, Freddie's cut man on Manny Pacquiao fights is going to be Benny Hinn. I don't even know what to say. That is something that is so silly and out of bounds. I don't know what Freddie was going to really tell me other than roll his eyes.
Yeah, when I heard that, I was like, man, I believe Pacquiao about the shoulder injury. But when someone says that, that's some real, whoa, man.
It's a unique relationship, too, in that, like, you know, a lot of fighters, they're probably around the gym more with their trainer. When Pacquiao's not in training camp, he's not around. He, you know, so I think Freddie only has a kind of a limited reach, you know, a limited hold over his guys. I think the eye roll is probably dead on the money. I think Radio Raheem did an interview with Freddie asking about it, and that he said he's doing rehab, not saltwater. So, who knows? I can just imagine it now.
The next pitcher in the major league that needs Tommy John surgery, they're going to rub him down with salt water after every therapy session. They're going to call it, he's doing the Manny Pacquiao therapy. He'll be back in 6 to 8 months throwing off the mound.
it's just crazy. And then I got another thing. You know how Al Heyman basically called Main Event's bluff with the Kovalev-Stevenson fight? Sooner or later, I would guess that I think it's the WBA, right? That Daniel Jacobs has a part of that title. Him and Triple G basically like own half of the title or whatever the nonsense is.
Yeah, he owns like the same regular version.
Yeah, if Danny Jacobs and Triple G's people they went to the table and they did the same thing they did to Main Events, how bad would that be for look on HBO's part, and how bad would it look on Triple G's part? Like, how do you think the media and the fans would show Triple G?
You know, it'd be an interesting scenario. You know, it's funny. Kathy Duva told me that and I haven't spoken to her since she came back, but she said about two Fridays ago, Steve, we now have some Russian investors ready to go to purse bids. And I think that Russian guy that's always like showing up with those big envelopes at the Ryabinsky, he is now saying, oh, I cannot wait for the Povetkin Wilder purse bid. So things change. Things change. And by the way, Gabe, I don't know if you saw the story, but Waddell and Reed every quarter, they're losing value. It's interesting.
Yeah, I did read the article, and it's you know, I don't profess to be in, you know, if I was a smart businessman, I'd be a smart businessman. But still, it is very interesting. I mean, all these things, there's been little stories here and there. You know, one of their executives is now at Al Heyman. You know, Al Heyman Sports Management or whatever. It's all very strange. And people say, oh, well, it's funny. There is a lot of guys all of a sudden, every time we put out one of these articles that come back and, oh, you don't understand the market and this, that, and the other thing. Like everybody's like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. And yeah, Michael they're Douglas. all of a sudden they're E.F. Hutton. We should listen to them. Right. Okay. Mike, Mike, anything else?
Yeah. I got Leo Santa Cruz with, a little bit of a controversial decision, but I got Leo Santa Cruz.
Just remember this. He did name his son Al.
Yeah.
Remember that.
That's true.
All right. 347-215-7598. Gabe, who's next?
All right. 760, you're live on the next round.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Terrence from Texas. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
I got a couple questions. Bob's talking about Pacquiao and Khan trying to make that fight, but obviously Khan's with Heyman. Do you get, is that kind of just him blowing smoke, or is that realistic?
I don't know how realistic it is. I know there are rumors that Amir Khan is no longer with Al Heyman. Gabe, far as I'm concerned, seeing is believing. As for now, I'm of the belief that Al Heyman still advises Amir Khan, and if that's the case, I believe all this talk is just basically nothing more than empty conjecture.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's also kind of just dangling things out there for the public. It's kind of, you know, digging into Al Heyman. You know, they see Khan as an odd man out, and they're correct. He does seem to be the odd man out. He's not getting the fights that he wants, and he's very vocal. Out of all the Al Heyman guys, he seems to be straight up about, hey, I'm not getting treated the way I'd like to be. But Keith Thurman a little bit too. So I think that they're just kind of finding you know, a chink in the armor and pulling on it, you know, poking at it.
And I also want to ask, like, with Rios and Bradley, obviously I know they're not fighting each other, but it seems like on that side they're having, like, issues getting them fights lately. And I was wondering, even with Pacquiao, if that fight with Khan can be made, he has, like, limited options. So I was wondering, do you think that the top rank side is starting to have some issues with this, like, quote unquote cold war because they don't have that many options at welterweight right now?
Well, I think they have certainly felt the effect of the budget crunch at HBO. And I don't think top ranks had a very good year. They've made a few good fights, but I haven't seen enough of their fighters. Gabe, the fact that Terrence Crawford, coming off a banner 2014, is going to only have two fights, and they're going to be against Delorme and Thierry Jean. It's not exactly the best way to capitalize on it, is it?
Yeah, no. I don't know what's going on over there. Is Bob getting old? Is he, you know, not relinquishing control to Todd? What's Todd doing? Why aren't they the aggressive and kind of active company that they've been in the past? I mean, did Mayweather Pacquiao just take it all out of him, and there's a bit of a slump there? I don't know.
All right, thank you for the call. 347-215-7598. 1 hour in the books. We have at least another 30 minutes to go here on the next round. A lot of things to talk about. Let us know. We know you'll be watching the ESPN card. And the real question is, will you be ordering Moseley Mayorga, Gabe?
Yeah, that's the real test. You know, how addicted to the sport are you? 860, you're live on the next round.
Hey, Johnson, hey, CT.
What's up, CT? What's going on?
How you doing?
Doing good, man.
I just like to talk about the Andy Mares Leo Santa Cruz fight this weekend. I think it could be a 50-50 fight, but I'm going to go with Leo Santa Cruz. I think the knockout really did something psychologically to Abner Mares. I mean, if he's going to turn the page back and be the fighter that he was before, that he was very adversity, you know, he dealt with adversity, and he mixed up his, you know, I'm trying to think of the word I'm thinking of. He was a little bit more versatile in the ring. So certain fighters, that's what gave him the win against certain fighters that he fought. But ever since the knockout, I've been seeing him fight one way, and that's it. You know, even with the fighters that he's been fighting recently, he's supposed to be blowing these guys out, and to some extent, he had some trouble with them. I see him swinging punches a little bit too crazy recently, and I think that's going to play right into Leo Santa Cruz's hands. I think with the pressure, I think Leo Santa Cruz is going to get the fight that he wants. I think the volume punching, I think he's going to possibly stop Adam Morris late in the fight.
Oh, stop him. That's a bold statement, because he doesn't stop a lot of guys. I mean, again, if someone put a gun to my head and said, Steve, you have to pick a guy, I guess I would go to Leo Santa Cruz. I could think of a lot of scenarios. Gabe, Santa Cruz by stoppage, that would be pretty stunning, wouldn't it?
That would be. I would be very impressed. I mean, that's a hell of a win if he's able to pull something like that off. I don't see him doing it, but I mean, body shot and a lot of the pressure, sure. You know, I mean, Abner, he doesn't seem like a guy that folds in a fight to me. I don't understand where people are getting that. I mean, I think he's also shown the ability to box beautifully. And you know, the Agbeko fights, the first one was kind of brutal. Second one, though, I thought Abner showed very clear boxing skills. And it was, you know, I think it was overshadowed by, if I'm not mistaken, Margarito Cotto too. But it was a masterful performance. And Leo, he can be turned and burned. He can have a guy dance around him, box, not exchange for long periods of time with him. And he's got kind of slow feet, and he's a bit one-dimensional. I'm not on the Leo Santa Cruz train. I haven't been for a while. And it's just, he's going the distance with guys he shouldn't.
I just had a question. Have you guys noticed, maybe it might be me, but have you guys noticed a difference with Abner Mares since the knockout?
Let's just put it this way. And again, I know that there may be some psychological scars from going through an experience like that. And again, I understand he wants to dip his toe back into the water before diving in. I do think he's a more cautious guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what, and again, but maybe now he's ready to dive back in like Greg Louganis. You just never know. We're going to find out on Saturday night.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, CT. If you want to call in, 347-215-7598, episode 545 of the next round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya.
All right. Then the 323, you're live on the next round.
Hello, guys. This is David from Los Angeles. I just have one minor question. How long before the Ring magazine or Harvard work, how could they strip Stevenson out of that lineal title because he keeps facing?
I don't think they will.
Wow.
They can't. I think by their own rules, Gabe, and this is why I find the whole linear situation and those who cling to it like it's the Bible, I think it's very draconian. I think nowadays, as you mentioned, with the fractured nature of the sport and the fact that guys don't fight as often, we have to go by resume. Who's putting in the most recently impressive work? And if you haven't stripped Stevenson by now, you never will.
No, I agree. I don't see. I mean, and even look back at the history of it, you know, there was long periods of time. Dempsey would take like a year to defend a title. You know, it is. It's about who's entertaining you now. That's all it is.
By the way, does your dog need to be taken for a walk?
Oh, no, I'm a mailman. That's why I'm out here delivering mail.
Oh, okay. Okay. I hear you. Okay.
I think you're in.
It only barks when Koreans and Mexicans are in the vicinity.
Yeah, I hate that. Jeez. Anything else we could do for you?
How much do you think the numbers will be for the Mayweather-Berto price review?
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think they'll do about $500,000 to $700,000, and they're going to say it did $1 million anyway. That's been the pattern.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, thank you, guys.
Thank you very much, and keep soldiering on. We appreciate your fine service to the community.
That's some of my favorite relatives are mailmen. 602, you're live on the next round. 602.
Got a knockdown
finally.
There.
Finally, I was kind of wanting one. 510, you're live on the next round.
Hey, what's up, Gabe? This is Fernando. Gabe and Steve, what's up, man? This is Fernando from Richmond. How you guys doing?
Fernando, welcome aboard.
Hey, I have a question. I was wondering, I haven't heard anything on ESPN or from you guys, but is Leo Santa Cruz's TBA belt, is that on the line this weekend or what?
TBA belt?
TBA? Is it Professional Bowlers Association?
Well, Tom Bomb to be announced though, you know, he's been the most
Well, no, because he's not actually fighting Tom Bob Anderson.
I think he had to vacate that belt in order to fight somebody legitimate. So I don't think that belt is on the line anymore.
Oh, that's a shame, man. So, well. All right, that's the only question I had, man. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you very much. If you want 407-215-7598, Gabe.
All right, I think this is the last caller, 443.
Okay.
You're live.
Hey, guys, how you doing tonight?
What's up, man?
Good.
Hey, so I know we've been dissecting the Mara Santa Cruz fight, but I wanted to talk about 122 and 126 around those weights. You got a lot of interesting names around there. Do you see this as kind of like a domino fight where, you know, wait and see who wins this fight and things might shake up, especially with, like, Heyman having guys like Frampton and Selby now? Just, you know, how do you see that all shaking out around 122, 126 after this fight?
Well, as Larry Merchant once said, fights make fights, but we'll see. I mean, no matter what happens, this much is for sure. None of it, Gabe, will involve Guillermo Rigondeaux.
Oh, man, that's harsh. Yeah, I would say so. He is the spoiler, and they're just waiting for him to spoil. At some point, maybe when he's like 35, 36, they'll roll him out to somebody. But until then, you know, nobody's going near the guy. Maybe they'll resurrect Fernando Montiel. He'll get in the mix before Rigondeaux gets in the mix.
Yeah. So you think winner of this fight will get a nice, like, PBC-level break and a few more nobody fights until they maybe fight another name guy next year?
That seems to be the pattern, certainly. And, you know, let's say Santa Cruz wins the fight. I don't know. Does he go right into Carl Frampton? You know, I just can't see it.
No, this is what, you know, it was something we were talking about earlier, Steve, and just we've talked about this a lot, the dilution of boxing. What they've done is almost created an NFL, in a sense, where each of these guys is kind of a team, and sometimes they, you know, it's a couple weeks in a row or a couple fights in a row, you fight, you know, the Washington Generals, and then maybe you fight a good fight. And it makes me wonder, when you look at the NFL, I don't think more teams, which dilutes the talent pool, is better. I mean, it might make for more football, but ultimately you got a lot of teams that only have like one or two good guys and the rest is crap. It's good for fantasy, but it's not really good for solid football teams. It feels like the same way here, that by trying to spread these guys out over all these dates and venues, you're diluting the product and the best aren't facing the best, or at least second best, not even facing the best. Is that better?
Yeah. Fair enough. Hey, one more question. You guys get any word on what Lomachenko is doing next?
Well, Lomachenko's going through like this back and forth thing with Guillermo Rigondeaux over catch weights, when we should fight, where we should fight. I believe that his manager, Igis Klimas, is now back from Russia. I plan on giving them a call this week to see exactly what direction they're headed. I'm hearing he could be back on HBO in November. I don't know at what weight who he would fight, but they've made it clear, whoever wants to fight him, they want a unification bout at 126. They want to go belt hunting.
Fair enough. Thanks, guys.
All right. Gabe, are there any more phone calls here?
No, that wraps it up.
All right, then you know what? Let's not have too much of a good thing. Programming reminder, next Monday is Labor Day Monday, which means that I'll be watching college football. Gabe will be doing something else. So we'll see you in 2 weeks. So on behalf of Gabriel Montoya and the rest of the Leave It in the Ring radio network, this is Steve Kim saying till the next round, goodbye, everybody.